guessing on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
We know you printed a document before the EMP detonated. Where is it?
You decide when the pain stops.
Jack rescues Paul from Conlon.
Drop the gun or I kill him!
Paul, where's the data printout?
I hit it.
Is this
it? Yeah, it's in code. I couldn't make any sense out of it.
We need to get it back to CTU.
Tony, I appreciate you carrying the ball till Michelle got here. Why don't you bring her and everyone else up to speed?
The man responsible for planning today's attacks, Habib Marwan, has been a long-term employee of McClendon Forrester. Jack Bauer and Paul Raines went to the company to inspect his computer files.
As they were doing so, an electromagnetic pulse bomb was detonated, wiping out the company's entire database.
We have to assume whoever detonated the EMP thinks Jack and Paul found something and wants them eliminated.
Why are we going here?
Weapons and ammunition.
I'm a federal agent! Look, we need your help!
Who's after you?
It has to do with the terrorist attacks. I have critical evidence that I need to get to the authorities.
If you're fighting the people who caused today's bloodshed, then we'll help you.
Commandos, close in.
It's time.
Conlon's commandos assault the sporting goods shop where Jack and Paul are holding out with the two owners. Armed CTU agents gun Conlon and his last remaining soldiers down.
I'm here. You and Raines safe?
Yeah. I need you to get this to CTU. It needs to get decoded immediately.
Jack, look out!
Conlon shoots Paul instead.
Paul?
Paul! Give me a medic!
Marwan to Anderson.
It's time for you to go. Are you ready?
Yes, of course.
Proceed as planned.
The President of the United States is on a tight schedule.
We can't be late.
The following takes place between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m.
A CTU helicopter hurries out of the darkened zone carrying Paul on a stretcher.
He's bleeding out. Tell him on the ground we need 2 liters of A-positive hemo.
Roger that.
Come on, Paul, stay with us. We're almost there.
Jack reaches for a working cell phone and contacts Audrey at CTU.
Hello?
Audrey, it's me.
Oh, Jack. Thank God you're all right.
Audrey, I need you to listen to me.
Paul's been shot. Audrey? Audrey!
How bad is it?
The medics are working on him. We'll be there in a few minutes.
Jack, how did this happen?
We're securing the area. One of the gunmen tried to shoot me. Paul pushed me out of the way.
He saved my life.
Audrey.
I'm here. Jack, I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything. Surgeons have been notified. They're standing by. I want you to know that we're going to do everything that we have to. You understand that?
Yeah, I understand.
I'm sorry.
I gotta go.
See you in a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Audrey pushes back her head with shock as tears roll down her cheeks. Helita Keela on Air Force One.
Mr. President, all the evidence we've gathered confirms that this one man,
Habib Marwan, is directly responsible for everything that's happened today. The train derailment, my abduction, the sabotage of our nuclear power plants.
Does any of your evidence suggest that he's planning more attacks?
I'm afraid so. NSA is reporting a spike in chatter. They're sifting through the intel now, trying to determine potential targets and time frames.
Trying is not good enough.
The chopper carrying Paul is about to land.
We need to preempt any further attacks.
I understand, sir. Our best chance of doing that is by capturing Marwan.
How close are you?
Jack Bauer recovered a document we believe contains contact data on Marwan's network. CTU is using it to track Marwan.
And if that fails?
Mr. President, we just have to hope that it doesn't.
Jim, today's events are continuing to generate an unprecedented level of fear. I'm not sure the social and civil fabric of this country can withstand another attack.
We need to make provisions.
Provisions?
The civil unrest that I believe is inevitable in the event of another terrorist strike.
Are you saying we should impose martial law?
I've asked General Wakefield to meet with you in Los Angeles to discuss our options.
When?
Now, his plane landed. He'll be calling you to confirm a secure location. And Jim, keep this between us.
Of course, Mr. President.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Kim Raver as Audrey Raines, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, Rico Aylesworth as Michelle Dessler, and William Devane as Secretary James Heller. Created by Joel Surnow and Robert Cochrane, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. 8:05. Audrey watches in trepidation as the helicopter lands outside CTU. A medical team immediately rushes forward with a stretcher trolley, and Paul is lifted clear of the chopper. Hesitant at first, Audrey runs forward to see him.
All right, doing some pressure. I need 10 cc's of adrenaline. No compression. Let's go.
Paul, can you hear me?
Paul. We got to get him to surgery now.
Paul.
I'm sorry.
Please tell me he's not going to die.
Come here.
They embrace.
Please. Jack, tell me.
We don't know. We just don't know.
Overwhelmed with emotion, Audrey follows Paul into surgery. Michelle and Tony arrive.
Jack, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Listen, we were able to decode and pull a name off the list you sent us.
Who is it?
Someone on our watch list, but we had no idea who was connected to Marwan.
Come on inside, we'll talk you through it.
Audrey catches up with Paul.
Sorry, Mrs. Raines, you need to stay out here while your husband's prepped for surgery.
Wait, please, can I just talk to him for a second? Hey, it's Audrey. Listen to me. I just want you to know that I'm here, okay? I'm here.
We need to prep him now.
And I will be here when you get out of surgery, do you understand me? Paul.
Paul disappears behind operating theater doors. And Audrey turns to her father for the comfort of his embrace. Tony to Jack and Michelle in the briefing room.
His name is Joseph Fayette, associate professor at Green University, chemical engineering. Came to the U.S. in 1985 to get his graduate degree.
We're sending in a tactical team to pick him up now.
That's a mistake.
Why?
From everything that we've seen today, Marwan's vetted his inner circle very carefully. That man will die before he says anything.
You're probably right, Jack. But what can we do besides arrest Fayette?
Send someone in undercover. Take a chance. They might lead you to Marwan.
Come on, Jack. You know we don't have the time to put one of our own people undercover.
I'm not talking about one of our people. Dina Araz.
She's already made her deal, Jack. We granted her son immunity. We have nothing left to offer her.
Maybe, maybe not. Let me talk to her while you mobilize a tactical team. If I can't get her to cooperate by the time they're ready, send them in. But it's simple. We either find Marwan or we will not be able to stop what he's planning next.
8:08. Anderson stands in a U.S. Air Force dress uniform waiting in a dark alley. Marwan appears through a back doorway and places a small satchel bag on top of an empty oil drum next to him.
Meet them at the hotel on Old River Road, half a kilometer from the base.
When?
Leave now.
I'll need his entire flight package, including clearance and identification codes.
We'll have whatever you need.
The two men go their separate ways. Anderson towards a waiting car, Marwan back into the house. In a motel room, two lovers romp beneath the sheets. An Air Force uniform lies abandoned on the edge of the bed.
Is that all you've got?
Oh, for now it is.
Oh, come on. I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've got to get to the base. I'm flying tonight.
He leaps up. Slips on his pants and checks his watch.
Damn, I'm gonna be late as it is.
He picks up his uniform.
Oh, look at me, I'm all wrinkled.
I wouldn't worry about that. Hello. It's for you.
What?
It's your wife.
But it's your cell phone.
As she changes, he eventually finds the courage to face his wife on the phone.
Dory.
They've got guns, John.
They say they'll kill the children unless you do what they want.
What's going on, Dory? Who's there?
I don't know.
Listen to me, Dory. Who's ever there, you put them on the phone.
Please, John, don't let them hurt the children.
Dory, put...
A gloved hand cuts her off as the woman points a gun at John.
Put your clothes on, John.
Jack arrives outside Dina's holding room. Michelle observes.
Curtis is prepping the tactical teams, which means you have 5 minutes to do this.
8:10. As Michelle and Tony watch through the one-way mirror, Jack keys a number into a security pad by the holding room door and approaches a weary-looking Dina Arras. He places a laptop screen on the table in front of her. It shows a photograph of Joseph Fayed.
Do you recognize this man?
No.
He's connected to Marwan.
I don't know him. I already told the other agent. Marwan doesn't permit communication between cells.
His name is Joseph Fayed. He's a professor at Green University.
You know more about him than I do.
He's also our only way to reach Marwan. We can't do that without your help.
Why should I help you? I've already gotten all I'm going to get for cooperating.
That's not necessarily true.
The screen shows a video feed of Beruz sitting afraid and alone in another holding room.
I know you love your son. You've already shown me that today. But unless you help us get to Fayed, that'll be the last time you see him for the rest of your life.
Michelle receives a call on her cell phone.
Mrs. Stessler?
All the teams are in place.
All right, have them stand by. Tactical teams are ready. We can be at Fayed's house in 10 minutes.
Let's give him another minute.
I'm offering you your freedom, Dana. You and Beruz will be put in a witness protection program. You'll be given new names, identities, everything.
This is what you told me you wanted.
I'm offering you a life with your son. Right now, the only question is, which life do you want?
Jack and Dina stare back at each other across the table. Jack loses patience and suddenly leaves.
We're out of time.
What do you need me to do?
Jack slowly walks back to Dina and crouches by her side.
I need you to go to Fayed. And tell him that you need to speak to Marwan.
He won't let me through his front door, let alone get near Marwan.
He will when you tell him that you've got a hostage that can help him.
A hostage? Who?
Me.
8:13. End of part one. 17. John at gunpoint.
So what's this all about? What are you doing?
I'm delivering you to someone.
Who?
I don't know.
You don't know who you work for?
I work for myself.
Somebody's paying you.
I don't ask them who they are, and they don't tell me. It's how I stay alive.
She hears a car and looks through a blind out into the street.
All right, it's time.
When her head is turned, John attacks her with a champagne trolley. She viciously chops into his neck with her hand, smacks his head against a table, forces him to the floor and holds a knife against his jugular.
If you don't cooperate, your family will die. Do you understand?
He nods reluctantly. She picks up her gun and answers the door to Anderson, who briskly enters in full Air Force uniform. He hands her the small satchel as instructed by Marwan and points his gun in John's worried face.
It's all there. Get out of here.
She leaves.
Get your things. We've got a plane to catch.
Increased chatter indicates that Habib Marwan is planning another strike. It is imperative that we locate him before he's able to trigger this. We are mounting an undercover operation that we hope will lead us to him through this man. Joseph Fayed. We've struck a deal with Dina Arez to work undercover for us and approach Fayed.
But Marwin knows we had Dina Arez in custody.
We're trying to use that to our advantage. Jack will run us through the cover story we've fabricated.
The cover story goes as follows. An hour ago, I was transporting Dina Arez to the Federal Detention Center when my vehicle was attacked by the surviving members of a terrorist cell run by Navi Arez at the intersection of Sepulveda and National. I managed to kill or wound all of the attackers, but during the engagement, Dina Arez secured one of the weapons and took me hostage. She'll take me to Fayed. Hopefully, he'll take me to Marwan.
And if Marwan takes the bait, we track you to him.
Yeah.
Now, we have to assume that they're going to search both Jack and Dina, which is going to make tracking and surveillance devices a problem.
We're going to have to handle this passively. We're going to use satellite parabolics and laser aggregators.
But what about Dina Arez? Do you think she'll be able to play this convincingly?
Well, she's managed to live here in the United States for the past 5 years while part of a terrorist cell undetected. Yes, she's an expert at deception.
As long as she doesn't deceive us.
Right now, this is our best and only chance at finding Marwan. But no matter how well we fabricate this story, Jack will be in extreme and immediate danger. We have to be able to move in at the first sign of trouble. There is zero tolerance for error. Thank you.
Good luck, everyone.
8:19, the team disperses.
Curtis, the detainees from McLennan Forrester have been taken over to division. I want you to run the interrogation.
You got it.
Thank you.
Edgar, I want you to call LAPD and Caltrans. We need their logs to reflect that the ambush on Jack took place.
I need an exact time window.
He just finished telling us, an hour ago.
I know, I just didn't know if there was an updated scenario.
No, Edgar, you weren't paying attention. Look, we can't afford for you to be losing focus at a time like this, all right?
I'm sick of people talking to me like I don't know what I'm doing. Especially people who don't really work here.
Michelle to Tony.
Is there a problem with Edgar?
Well, his mother was caught in the contamination zone at the San Gabriel reactor. She took her own life. Well, up till now, he's been handling it pretty well, but I think it might be catching up with him.
Do you think he's in good enough shape to run the comm part of this operation?
Based on what just happened? No.
Where's Chloe? I didn't see her on the active roster.
Yeah, well, Driscoll forced her to resign.
Why?
Well, apparently Chloe went against Driscoll's orders. Sided with Jack. Turns out Jack was right.
Thank you.
Michelle steps across the main concourse towards her workstation and taps at her computer. She dials a number on her cell phone and contacts Chloe, who relaxes at home in front of her laptop, in her pajamas.
Hello?
Chloe, it's Michelle Dessler.
Are you calling me from Division?
Actually, I'm back at CTU.
Secretary Heller asked me to take Aaron Driscoll's place.
She got fired? That's too bad. Listen, could you tell Edgar to upgrade the Langley pattern recognition software? He gets a little overwhelmed sometimes.
Yeah, I'll make sure he takes care of that.
Thanks.
Listen, Chloe, you're better at what you do than anyone I've ever worked with.
I need you here.
Thank you for saying that, but I think I've had enough for today.
Chloe, this would be for Jack.
Not just for CTU.
What are you talking about?
He's about to go undercover in a high-risk operation.
We need to mount massive surveillance in very little time.
I don't have confidence that Edgar can do this on his own.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that.
Chloe, I just need a few hours of your time, and then you can move on. I just want to do everything I can
to ensure Jack's safety.
Fine, but it's just for today.
Thank you, Chloe.
You're welcome.
8:23. Jack to Tony.
They're setting cars up at the ambush site in case Marwan wants to verify. We're using the dead bodies of terrorists from Heller's rescue.
All right, the follow team will stay as close as they can, but to tell you the truth, Jack, you're flying without a net on this one. If a hostile decides to take you out without warning, there's nothing we can do.
I know.
Look, Audrey's still at the clinic. There's time if you want to say goodbye.
Audrey paces up and down.
She's got a lot on her mind right now.
Jack, she should know what you're about to do.
She's been through enough today.
As Jack and Tony enter Dina's holding room, a security guard removes her handcuffs and leaves with a laptop. Tony places a file on the desk in front of her.
Why don't you look over the timeline? We'll talk through the details.
I'm not doing anything until I see my son.
We don't have time for that right now.
Seeing my son is non-negotiable.
Tony.
Jack asked Tony to leave the room.
You need to learn every aspect of the cover story. Your life depends on it.
Don't worry about me.
You can see your son, but only for a minute. That's all. Let's go.
Jack takes Dina by the arm and accompanies her to visit Beruz, who sits despondently in another holding room, staring blankly at a featureless floor.
Mom.
Mother and son embrace.
You wouldn't tell me where you were, or even if I was going to see you again.
We're going to be together.
What are you talking about? They wouldn't let you come with me.
Everything has changed. I agreed to do something for them, and they let me go with you.
What do they want you to do?
Help them find Marwan.
He's too dangerous.
Oh, I can handle Marwan.
Please, Mom. No.
Don't worry. I'll be fine.
Please, Mom.
Mrs. Arise, it's time.
Dina kisses her son repeatedly on either cheek and on his hands. She leaves him slowly by degrees, her hand the last point of contact, smoothing his hair and childlike face with a mother's fond attention. She smiles warmly at him as she leaves, and as Jack closes the door behind her, his sniffles turn to tears. 8:26. End of part two. 8:30. Michelle to Tony.
Scale surveillance in place yet?
We have audio. There might be a few dead spots, but we should be able to hear inside the house. That's assuming they get that far.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Come on. Why aren't you going through? Damn it.
Use a Danziger filter. You can download it internally if you know what you're doing. There, you're in.
Chloe, what are you doing here?
Michelle thought you could use some help. Offload your task list to me at Station 12. I'll cover your overflow.
I could handle my assignment.
Well, obviously you can't. Otherwise, Michelle wouldn't have called me in.
Edgar, I meant to tell you before Chloe got here.
Look, Miss Tesla, I can do my job. I don't need any help.
I'm not saying you can't, but I'm not taking any chances either.
Look, I know we got off to a rocky start, but...
Edgar, this isn't a debate. It's an order. Now brief Chloe so she can run satellite with you and do it fast. Jack's approaching the staging area now.
Michelle returns to her workstation, fixes a hands-free set over her ear and calls Jack's backup team positioned at a four-track just up the street from Fayed's house.
This is Baron.
This is Dessler. We're set on our end. Satellite and surveillance teams are in place. Going at your discretion.
Roger that. We'll leave this line open.
8:32. Agent Baron and his partner set up their parabolic listening equipment looking something like a handheld unidirectional rifle mic. As they fix on their headphones, Jack and Dina pull up in their four-track opposite Fayed's house. Jack unwraps a handkerchief from his pocket.
We're going in alone?
Our agents are conducting audio surveillance with mobile parabolics.
What does that mean?
Acknowledge that you can hear me. Copy that.
A flash of headlights from behind.
What are you doing?
I have to make it look like I was injured during the attack.
Dina looks on in horror as Jack takes out a flick knife and slices painfully into his own side. He primes his gun and hands it to Dina.
Take my gun. This has to look as convincing as possible. Take my gun.
You must know that I want to kill you.
Yes, but you won't because of Beruz. Let's go.
Baron watches Jack and Dina jump out of their car.
They're going in.
We're standing by.
Smarting from his flesh wound and with a gun poking into his back, Dina walks Jack across the quiet suburban street and up a homely drive to Fayed's front door.
What if Fayed doesn't believe us?
Then we're both dead.
Island area. As you can see here from footage that was shot earlier, there was a 100-mile radius as people tried to evacuate.
A woolly jumpered Fayed turns off Fox News, reaches for a gun from a chest of drawers, and cautiously approaches the door.
Who is it?
Joseph, it's Dina Arras.
Who?
Dina Arras, I'm a friend. My husband is Navi, he's been killed.
I don't know what you're talking about. Please go away.
I need to speak to Marwan.
I don't know any Marwan.
Yes, you do.
Go away before I call the police.
You won't call the police, and we both know why.
What do you want?
I have a hostage. Someone Marwan will want. His name is Jack Bauer. He's a CTU agent. Now, please let me in before someone sees me.
Fayed spies them through a peephole, flings open the door, grabs Jack by the scruff of his neck and pins him against an inside wall with his gun.
Close the door! Put your gun over there! Do it!
Dina leaves the gun on a bench and throws up her hands in submission. Meanwhile, as Fayed searches Jack, he discovers a bloody handkerchief masking a bleeding wound. Fayed slugs Jack across the back of the head with his gun, knocking him unconscious. Jack crumples to the floor.
How did you find me?
My husband told me.
I don't know your husband.
He knew you.
Tell me what happened.
My husband was killed, and I was arrested. They were transporting me to CTU. I heard an explosion, and the van we were driving crashed. It was our people. They came to rescue me. Everyone fell, except Bauer and me. He was wounded, and I managed to get his gun.
Where did this happen?
At the intersection of Sepulveda and National, half a mile from here.
Don't move.
Fayed thinks twice before finally picking up the phone and calling Marwan. Jack listens to the conversation from the floor.
What is it?
This is Fayed. A woman named Dina Arras came to me.
How did she find you?
She claims her husband told her.
What does she want?
She wants to bring you a hostage.
A CTU agent named Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer?
Can you break into the other side of the conversation?
No, the call's being piped through a satellite switcher. The signal's scrambled.
As she was being transported, our people ambushed the vehicle at the intersection of Sepulveda and National. Everyone was killed, but she managed to escape with Bauer. What do you want me to do?
Bring them to me. I will call you back in 5 minutes with the details. Be ready. Do you understand?
Yes. I understand.
A grim-faced Fayed puts down the phone and returns to Dina.
Marwan wants to see him.
Baron, it's a go.
I heard.
Better follow grid and we'll coordinate from our end.
A tennis game of tense looks bats back and forth among the staff of CTU. 8:37. In the black of night, John arrives at the guardhouse of an Air Force base in Anderson's sporty car. He pulls up level with a sentry in battle fatigues, who salutes him with full military honors.
Evening, sir.
Evening.
John hands the sentry a pass card. As the sentry verifies it with a handheld security device, another checks beneath the car with a mirror on a long pole.
Pop the trunk for me, sir.
Since when are you searching officers' cars at the gate, Sergeant? Elevated threat level.
John releases the catch on the trunk and watches nervously as the sergeant peers inside and examines it in the torchlight. The trunk is completely empty, as if brand new. The sergeant slams it shut, then proceeds to the front of the car. When he sees John's nervous behavior, he becomes suspicious and decides to open one of the back doors and check the back seat area. Again, everything looks clean and empty, as if he'd driven it straight from the factory.
Okay, you're good to go, sir.
Thank you.
John nervously drives past the busy guardhouse and on into the base, just managing to hold on to his nerve. He continues for some distance, away from the prying eyes of patrolling sentries, and parks next to a quiet wire fence. He opens the back door and pulls down the back seat, enabling Anderson to escape from his hiding place. Anderson immediately radios Marwan.
I'm on base.
Proceed as planned.
Okay, I got you on base. Let me talk to my family.
Open the trunk.
Let me talk to my wife.
I said open the trunk.
Please, let me talk to my family.
Your family is dead, and so are you.
Anderson shoots John in the chest, and his body collapses neatly into the trunk. Anderson rips off his dog tags and slips them into his pocket. He pulls out a pair of wire cutters and proceeds to cut off John's left thumb. A bearded surgeon in surgical gown leaves the operating theatre and removes his hat and mask to talk to Audrey, who anxiously paces up and down under her father's supportive eye.
Mr. Raines, your husband sustained bullet wounds to his chest and abdomen. Now, we were able to extract one of the bullets, but I called a neurosurgeon in from Cedars to help extract the second bullet.
Why a neurosurgeon?
Well, the bullet is lodged against his T5 vertebra, and we want to be careful to avoid any further spinal trauma.
I can't believe this is happening.
I'll let you know as soon as I get any news on his condition.
Thank you.
Audrey collapses into a waiting room chair and buries her head in her hands. Not for the first time, Heller comforts her, with his arm arched around her back.
I don't think I realized how much I care for Paul until now.
I know this is terrible timing, but the president has called and I have to leave. You'll be able to reach me on my number. The doctors will keep me up to speed here.
Okay.
I love you, Audrey. And I'm proud to be your dad.
I love you too. Be careful.
8:46. Dina drives Fayed's car along a main street with Jack lying down in the back and Fayed in the passenger seat pointing a gun at Dina's side.
Where are you taking me?
Shut up.
Baron and his partner listen in from about 100 yards back with parabolic microphones. An audio feed links CTU.
How far are we going?
It won't be long.
You look nervous.
What do you expect?
I wouldn't have contacted you if I felt I had a choice.
And as a result, I have no choice.
We do whatever we have to for the cause. So, what's the problem?
There is no problem.
He's approaching an intersection. They're turning off Olympic.
Moving to next sub-channel.
He's turning onto a side street. Collier Avenue. Hold that distance.
Understood. He's heading towards a Broad Street tunnel.
Slowing down.
Baron, drop back. We can't afford to have him spot the tail.
We're backing off.
Turning into the tunnel.
Maintain your distance.
Oh, he's too far ahead
for the parabolic. I'm not going to be able to hear what's going on in there.
The tunnel is 400 yards long. They'll be out of satellite view for approximately 20 seconds.
One of the lanes is coned off as construction vehicles assist in roadworks inside the tunnel. Dina files forward in a queue of traffic.
Pull in front of this truck.
As Dina parks between construction vehicles, masked workers drag them from the car.
What's going on?
Get up!
What are you doing?
A Middle Eastern man hands Fayed a metallic briefcase and places it on the front seat.
Thermo one.
Yes.
As Jack and Dina are bundled into a white van, Fayed drives away. 8:48. The van speeds along the tunnel in the opposite direction.
This is taking too long.
A satellite picture of the tunnel entrance.
We got them. They're right at the tunnel.
Do you have a visual?
That's it. We got them up ahead.
Fayette's turning onto Napier.
Napier loops back around to Olympic.
That means he just spent the last 5 minutes driving in a circle.
Maybe he's trying to detect surveillance.
Chloe, can you switch to infrared?
Hold on.
A single white light shines from Fayette's car.
There's only one person in the car.
They made a switch in the tunnel.
Baron, the covert part of the operation is over. All teams, move in on the target car.
Alpha team, cut them off at the bridge. We're right behind.
Establish a perimeter around the area. Stop and search all vehicles. Chloe, do you have anything on satellite?
Nothing around the immediate area of the target's car.
You go back in the archives and find out what happened?
Yeah, it's gonna take a few minutes.
I'll do it.
Baron, what's your status?
We're closing in now.
Cars block Fayed from all sides.
You got him surrounded on the bridge. I'll take the lead.
They approach Fayed on foot.
Passenger side. On the left. Flank him.
Get out of the car! Put your hands up now!
Out of the car!
Fayed detonates a bomb. An explosion rips through the car, enveloping the martyred wreck in a ball of flame. Agents are thrown to the ground.
Oh my God.
A satellite photo of the blast scrolls onto Chloe's screen.
Set us up.
8:50. End of part three. Yeah. 8:55. An agent rolls over a dead body next to the burning wreck of Fayed's car.
Almeida.
This is Dalton. Agent Barron's dead. So is Fayed.
Is there any sign of Jack? No, not yet. Any other hostiles in the area?
Well, the area looks secure.
Okay, I'll get you another backup team as soon as I can.
I have the archive satellite footage.
Play it back.
Okay, during the time Fayed's car is in the tunnel, three vehicles exit.
Check the van.
Can you give me a license number on that?
Not from the satellite. Let me check the traffic cameras. Edgar, get me the Caltrans interface.
We have a socket open, logging in. Done.
Okay, there's a camera at the entrance to the tunnel. Looking for the right frame.
Footage of a white van leaving the tunnel. Chloe freeze frames the image and enhances the license plate number.
Got it. Send this out to all the field teams. I want interagency support on setting up a grid.
I'm on it. We have an ID on a vehicle. White Chevy van, late 90s. License plate Charlie Victor Alpha 322.
8:56. The van comes to a rest in the abandoned basement of a red brick building. The side door slides open, and Jack and Dean are led away, their wrists bound and with black bags over their heads. Jack tries to struggle as he's frog-marched through shallow pools of water into an inner chamber to be met by Marwan. Marwan carries a gun in his hand as he angrily yanks off the bag to reveal Jack's face.
You've caused me a lot of trouble.
Marwan kicks Jack in the head, sending him reeling to the floor. He unties Dina's hands.
Sorry for your loss, Dina. Navi was a great man. I hope my men weren't too rough with you. It was necessary, in case you were under surveillance.
I understand. But we weren't followed. I was careful.
You're a good liar, Dina.
What?
Fayed martyred himself.
The men who were following you are dead.
What men?
Enough with the lies!
He points his gun at her forehead.
Marwan, please believe me. I did not betray you.
He stops himself from shooting her. Instead, he turns to look down at Jack, a pool of blood next to his bleeding mouth.
Prove it to me. Kill him.
Marwan flips the gun around in his hand and offers Dina the stock. She slowly reaches out and paws at it thoughtfully with her hands. Marwan drags Jack up to a sitting position and calmly stands back to watch. Dina aims the gun at Jack's head and begins to squeeze at the trigger. In the last moment, she points the gun at Marwan and fires, but the gun is empty.
Just what I thought. Get him out of here.
Two thugs drag Jack through splashing water back towards the waiting vehicles. Marwan nods an order at one of his henchmen. He forcibly leads Dina into a graffiti-daubed side room and shoots her dead. Meanwhile, Beruz frets over his mother's safety from the confines of CTU. Audrey agonizes as she waits for news of Paul. Keela contemplates the stark realities of his presidency, and Jack is bundled into Marwan's four-track and driven away. Anderson enters a high-security zone of the base. A soldier stands before him in the corridor. After a moment's pause, he salutes him. Anderson salutes back, and the soldier lets him pass. He approaches a security door, swipes John's pass card, then reaches into his jacket pocket and pulls out a bloodied hanky. He unwraps John's severed thumb and places it on the keyboard to open the door. Having gained access, Anderson enters the aircraft hangar. ...9 p.m. The end.